You're listening to Cinematic Adventures, proud member of the Misfit Faction Media Network.
Good morning, Vietnam!
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
I feel the need for speed.
Roads, where we're going, we don't need roads.
Snakes. Why did it have to be snakes?
Vargas? We don't need no Vargas. I don't have to show you any stinking vices.
You make me want to be a better man.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
He's looking at you, kid.
I've always depended on the kindness. Strange.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Would you be shocked if I put on something more comfortable?
You know how to whistle, don't you, Steve? You just put your lips together and blow.
I'm not bad. I'm just drawn that way.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Cinematic Adventures. If you're listening to us on the go, you can catch us here on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and pretty much anywhere else you can get a podcast. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Sean, and we're here in the Misfit Faction studio, and I'm here with my wingman? I think my wingman. He'll protect me. Maybe.
Get out of my house.
It's late. I'm sorry. Paul, how are you?
I'm good. Sean, how are you?
You're sipping the wine right now. You're all relaxed. Yeah.
Oh, relaxed is a word that can be used to describe many other people in the world. But right now, I am hyped. Jazzed.
Awesome. I think this might be the first time on Cinematic Adventures, not Multiverse, but on Cinematic Adventures, I think this is the first time we've ever recorded literally within an hour of seeing a movie.
I will give that to you. That is actually accurate. So, I do think so, too.
So for anyone who has not listened to anything we've ever done, you know what? You're not missing much. So we just got out of seeing Top Gun Maverick, and we did the original Top Gun last week. So we're kind of on a nice little high right now from this movie, and we're looking forward to talking about it.
I think I might re-release our Hot Shots episode also.
Good call.
I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Good call. We did that. That was like our first episode, wasn't it? Or did we do an actual episode on Hot Shots, or we just did all of the...
Those are questions.
They are very good questions that you don't have the answers to.
You know, it's funny because I'm just going to edit all this out anyway. So for all you guys know, none of this is actually happening.
That's very true. All right, Paul. So we're going to get started here first. And you know what? Paul doesn't know what's coming, but I gotta vent a little here. So we went to the movies. You know what? We're looking forward to it. We're going to have a good time. When the hell did people forget how to act in a freaking movie theater?
Gee, Sean, I don't know what you're talking about. Please elaborate for our listeners at home.
Oh, my God. I will never not go to a movie a movie theater. To me, I am frightened for the future of movies and movie theaters because I truly believe that at some point they're going to go away.
So let's even backtrack even further. This was a movie that we specifically said we had to go to a theater to see it.
You have to see this in a movie theater.
Unfortunately,
and I'm telling you to the audience right now, you have to see this movie in a movie theater.
Like it was great. And I'm sure it'll be great when we watch it at home or anything like that. But this was a movie-going experience.
Yes.
To the point where even Tom Cruise... Part of the reason this movie was in development for so long is because they were waiting to get it into theaters.
Well, yes.
It was done, what, 2 years ago, three years ago?
Basically, but because of COVID, it's been pushed back and pushed back and pushed back.
And we're going to talk about that too, obviously, because it does have a point. But Tom Cruise did like a little intro at the beginning, thanking people for coming to the movies.
Yeah, and basically telling us straight out, it's like, all the shots you're going to see are real. Like... The plane shots, the G-Force, all that stuff was real. The actors were in training doing this.
Yeah, it's crazy.
There's no green screen. There's no, you know, yes, there might be a special effect here and there, but all that was real.
Yeah.
So, long story short, we're in the theater. We're, you know, watching the trailers, and I don't know about you, but you can already sense, you can always
sense. Vibe.
You can get a vibe when someone's going to be that person in a movie theater. Sometimes, you know what, during the trailers you talk, all right, I'm okay.
Yeah, that's fine. We're not like...
So, movie starts, and boom, it's Danger Zone, just getting you into the groove of this movie.
Okay, so we'll give you a full spoiler alert, but that's a mild spoiler.
Not really.
They play the song. All right, yeah, so...
And there's this lady who just...
She's got to be mid-50s.
Mid-50s, and she just goes crazy.
Which, okay, you know, like, I was jazzed to hear Danger Zone as well,
yes.
And... We think that's...
It didn't stop.
The whole movie. Even her husband was like, shh,
didn't stop.
Oh god, she was bad. And then next to her, like two seats over, and this is all in front of us. This is
in front of us.
In front
literally
of us.
The row in front of us.
We had another guy. He had to be also 50s or 60s, and he's texting the whole movie with his phone brightness on so high.
So high. And I'm just like, dude, you can be on your phone in a movie theater and make it look like you're at least trying to not, you know, piss off everybody in the theater.
No craps to give.
Just, this is where I can't stand people. And this is why, like, going to a movie is not as big of a priority for me as it used to be, just because I'm just tired of the general public. I really am.
Oh, I'm with you, man. Like, it's rough.
Tired of it. And people, freaking, it's the easiest thing in the world. You go into a movie theater, you turn your damn phone off, or turn the brightness down, put it on silent something. And stop acting like you're in your goddamn living room.
Sean's really fired up. Do you want
just,
a drink?
No, or? I'm sorry. I just, you know, it bugs me. It really bugs me.
And also, like, for us, I think
paying $15 a damn ticket to see this movie, like, you know.
And, like, we've talked about it on some of our other episodes, especially when COVID was at its height and there was the big debate about whether or not movies were going to strictly stick to streaming after it was all said and done. And I'm so glad that they waited for this movie.
I am too, actually.
Like,
they could have copped out and they could have just released it streaming. I mean, even a year ago, they could have released this movie. But they held back, I think, mainly for... Also, for they knew when it was going to be released. They wanted really no other movies around at the time. Mm-hmm. Smart move. This is the biggest grossing film of Tom Cruise's career.
And rightfully so.
Hard to believe when you think about it.
We've seen a lot of Tom Cruise movies, and I will put this in the top. Half of that.
I very
list
much
thing.
Enjoyed it. So we'll obviously get to all that later on, but we're going to start off with some news. We actually have a decent amount of news for this, which we really don't do.
Surprising, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to start off with Jurassic World Dominion.
I'm so sad.
So this movie is literally getting destroyed by critics. It's got a 38% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is saying something, because I thought the last movie was a Fallen Kingdom was a disgrace of a movie, and that had a 47% on Rotten Tomatoes. So we have not seen it yet. We will go see it. We will do an episode on it. This has to be it. This is it. Stop after here.
Yeah.
It's not getting any better. It's very similar. You know what it's similar to? It's similar to the Star Wars, the new Star Wars trilogy.
No, it's
Force Awakens was good. Jurassic World was good. Not great. It was good. And then it just went just downhill.
I'd even say it reminds me of Terminator franchise.
Okay.
Like, where they thought by bringing back all the nostalgia, like, right now, the original cast is coming back for this movie, as far as we know, Alan Grant, Ellie Sattler, and Ian Malcolm, they came back. We don't know we haven't seen the movie yet, so just full disclosure.
And then BD Wong, I think you've seen in like, a couple of shots.
His hair is different in every movie. It's like shoulder length of this one.
But,
so for us, like, Sean and I, did we do an episode for Jurassic Park?
Jurassic Park probably, but not Jurassic World.
Yeah, so we're very big fans of the Jurassic series as a whole, right? You know, obviously there are ups and downs of each individual movie, but I think for the most part we agree kind of where we stand on them. I think Jurassic Park's obviously a classic. The Lost World has got a little bit of a cult following to it. Jurassic World 3 is
Jurassic Park, yeah, 3.
Oh, excuse me, Jurassic Park 3 just kind of.
I love Jurassic Park 3 because I know what kind of movie it is, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not trying to be anything it's not.
And then Jurassic World comes out, and we're like, oh, wow, all right. A little life into the franchise. It was really good. And then Fallen Kingdom comes out, and we're like, oh, what happened?
And then you hear this one comes out, and I'm like, okay, can't be any worse. Which, again, we haven't seen the movie. Who knows? Maybe in a week or two, and after we see the movie, we might like it.
Because
it's very possible.
We're also very adamant about our thoughts on movie critics and Rotten Tomatoes and that kind of culture.
Very true. You cannot always go by, but I'm surprised
that it's so low.
The reviews have been so low. So we're also going to. This was in the news a couple days ago, and I found interesting. So Tim Burton, I guess, was being interviewed for something. I'm not 100% on what exactly it was, and. You know, whenever you talk Tim Burton, and obviously with Empire Magazine, thank you. Where the comic book movie is now compared to where it was when he did the original Batman and Batman Returns. So you always got to bring that up to him. You know, he's like, oh, hey, you started it with Batman. You did Batman Returns. And somehow the conversation gets into Batman Forever. And, you know, the story is, they didn't want him to return because Batman Returns was too dark. They couldn't make toys out of Batman Returns. Parents were complaining, yada, yada, yada. So in comes Joel Schumacher. We get the very light, you know, still dark movie, but, you know, definitely more lighthearted Batman Forever. And we get the bat nipples.
We do get the bat nipples.
And this is where Tim Burton goes, so I was too dark, you didn't want me to come back, but you put nipples on the bat suit. What the hell? That's basically the story. And it just, I'm like, let it go, man. Let it go. Mm-hmm. No offense to Tim Burton. He really hasn't done a good movie in probably almost a decade.
And also, my challenge is, or my problem with all this is, Tim Burton didn't create the character of Batman. Revamp him for a modern audience? Absolutely. Yeah. But there have been so many... Batman's one of those characters that's going to outlive all of us. Mm-hmm. Like, it's going to be 100 years from now, they're going to be making more... Batman's not going away. Superman's not going away. These characters aren't... They're already... Superman, over, I think, almost 80 years old. Like... As a character, 1938,
and Batman's 39.
Yeah, like they're like, we're getting there for them. Like, it's crazy to think these characters could be living past us. And as long as they're making money,
sour grapes. It feels like sour grapes. And you know, he hasn't even watched the. Apparently, he hasn't even seen the new one. The
which is a shame. I feel like he would really enjoy it.
I would think so. Because yeah. I mean, and now you know, we're getting obviously with Michael Keaton coming back in the Flash and the Batgirl. Movie.
Yeah.
Many people want Tim Burton to come back and do another, you know.
I'm fine.
I agree. I'm like, we don't need that.
We're in this very big stage of nostalgia.
Oh my God. And it's just overblown now.
Sometimes it really works. Like the movie we're going to talk about tonight, mild spoiler for our opinion, it worked. Yeah. It really worked. But then you get Jurassic World where they thought maybe, again, we haven't seen it. It could just have a really bad script. But they thought by putting back in all the old actors, everybody would be like, yeah. We want to go see that. And yeah, it was a big draw for us. And we're going to go see it and do an episode on it. But I think that the nostalgia train is starting to run out of steam a little bit.
Look at Spider-Man No Way Home.
Yeah. And we didn't even mention that for news. Oh, they're re-releasing Spider-Man No Way Home in September, I believe, with additional footage and stuff like that.
Just get a little few extra dollars.
Yeah. And it's Avatar did the same thing to beat Avengers Endgame. So...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's right, because Avengers Endgame overtook them for the highest grossing movie of all
They're
time.
They're both owned by Disney.
Weirdest thing. But so there's your bonus news.
Little bonus. There you go. Paul, you got a couple little things here.
That I do. So we also had a trailer that has, again, we talk about movies. Like we're talking about a movie tonight where it was in development hell for some time. Not so much pre-production, but post-production and release, mostly due to the COVID pandemic. But we had our first look at Black Adam. The Black Adam trailer dropped now. Sean has not seen it yet because he, you know, that blood runs thick at Cinematic Adventures. We don't talk about comic book movies here. Go to Multiverse Fancast for that one.
Sean, just talked about Batman, dude.
That's fine. We talked about Tim Burton. Totally different. Semantics. But Black Adam trailer did just drop. It does not show a whole lot, but it definitely gives off the vibe of the movie. And unfortunately, Dwayne Johnson, as much as I do love Dwayne Johnson, and he's like a guy that I would love to get a beer with or even work out with just one time, like to be the coolest thing. He always plays Dwayne Johnson nowadays. Even Tom Cruise. Like, we were leaving the theater, and producer Melanie says to me, she's like, you know, I'm not usually, like, the biggest Tom Cruise fan, but there was, like, he was so charming in this role. It was like he was made for it. And I was like, I agree. He's not like Ethan Hunt, where he's same kind of charm, but Ethan Hunt's, like, so superhuman at this point. It's nice to see Dwayne Johnson kind of doing something that's not Dwayne Johnson-y.
Now, was it... Did you get a Shazam vibe off of that trailer? Is it going to be like Shazam?
No. It's he not like Shazam.
Okay. Like, I meant in terms of Billy Batson. I remember in the terms of
There's some comedic stuff in it, and it has a very similar look and aesthetic, but otherwise, Black Adam, like as a character, just the whole thing looks totally different.
Okay.
But what do we got next?
You got a new TV show coming out of a certain property that we're both very big fans of.
Stranger Things? Cobra Kai?
No.
The Witcher?
No. Witcher? No. I haven't watched it.
You should.
Yeah. There's a lot of things I should watch.
Is it Ghostbusters?
I think so.
Yes, we are in the Ghostbusters Renaissance, it seems. This week they had They had a Ghostbusters Day, I guess it was. A special... It was also Bill and Ted Day.
Oh, really?
Do you know what day Bill and Ted Day was?
Obviously, it was sometime this past
June
week.
June 9th.
There we go.
Do you know why?
No.
What was the number?
Oh.
69, dudes. There you go. Yep, so I had no idea. But yeah, going back to Ghostbusters, apparently they have a ton of new Ghostbusters properties in the works. Details are still sparse. We're not sure how they kind of fit into the world of Ghostbusters. But we have a direct sequel to Ghostbusters Afterlife, mm-hmm. where they are going back to New York City, apparently. The working title is called Firehouse. is what they're saying. Ghostbusters animated show.
I'm intrigued by that.
I am as well. I think that Ghostbusters, we loved the real Ghostbusters growing up as kids. So good. I saw all of Extreme Ghostbusters. Sean never got a chance to. I don't even know where you could stream it nowadays.
I don't think you could stream it anywhere, honestly.
It's a shame. And then a new Ghostbusters animated movie.
See, now that's going to be weird to me. Like, is it going to be the same as the show?
Yeah.
Or, you know, so we'll see. I'm looking forward to that.
I would love an Into the Spider-Verse kind of style of Ghostbusters. Be nice. That'd be so cool.
So, I mean, you know, and it would be great if you could get the voices back from the original, but Lorenzo Music is no longer alive, the original voice of Venkman in the cartoon.
Yeah.
But what's the name? Dave Coulier is still there.
Which is even funnier because we got to meet who plays Winston.
Oh, Ernie Hudson.
Ernie Hudson.
That was the best story ever. Where
he
tells
the story about how he went and auditioned for Winston on the show, and they said he didn't sound like Winston.
He goes, I am Winston.
Yeah, so it's too funny, too funny.
All right, and we got one last little piece of news, and this is right up our alley.
What is it?
You don't know?
Where's my alley? You have the notes.
Well, because you're the one that
you put the book
came up with the idea.
Ghostbusters? Oh my God, yeah, you went out of order, that's why. We have the 40th anniversary of Grease was this week, or Grease 2, excuse me. That is one of those movies that we have such a guilty pleasure type feel for it. Like, my producer Melanie and I love that movie. I know, Sean, it's grown on you since...
Oh no, I've loved that movie since I was a kid.
I thought it was going to grow on you more since we started really...
No, the fact that I found out the people that like that movie was what shocked
me. It's got a little bit of a cult
following. It's got a very big cult following.
Which is hilarious.
There's a lot of people that feel it's a better movie than the original Grease.
I can see the argument.
I can see the argument too. When I was a kid with my cousin, we always liked the music from Grease 2.
I will
more
say that it may be blasphemy, but I like the music more from Grease 2 as well.
It's just a different. It's a different
it's
tone.
It's so much more boppier and more catchy. Yeah. I want to go bowl tonight.
Let's go bowl.
Yeah, but we are going to do some guilty pleasure movies over the summer because Sean and I are going to actually dedicate almost a whole week to just podcasting and movies. Yeah, I'm psyched. It's going to be so much fun. And then we're going to hate each other for a month.
Yeah, well, that's the key. Build up some episodes so we don't have to talk to each other
anymore.
It's like, at least they're talking.
Well done. Well played. But I think that's it for news.
That's it for news. So when we get back from our little break, we are going...
Actually, I'm doing something different.
Oh, what are you doing?
All right. So imagine I just did the Flash commercial noise. Like, psh, psh, psh. Hey, Sean. That's your cue. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Paul.
Do you like podcasting?
Yes, I do.
I think it's a really great way to bring people together and also talk about things that you love and enjoy. Don't you, Sean?
Sure.
Well, if you're listening and that rousing speech did not entertain you enough to start your own podcast, if any of you guys are ever looking to start your own show, if you guys go to podbean.com/misfitfaction, you guys can try a month of podcasting on us. That's a special thank you from us to you guys. And we're always looking to grow our network and find new shows and more people to join us and talk pretty much all the things that they're passionate, just like us. Now, also, if you guys have your own small business or maybe an online service, something that you guys do and you're trying to build advertising, we got you covered. If you guys go to sponsorship.podbean.com/misfitfaction, you guys can get $100 worth of free advertising on us. Again, that's a thank you from all of us to you guys. And also, Sean, that was our break. I did something called a live read. I'm very excited.
Oh, my God. That was amazing.
Thanks, man. I really worked on it.
Good. You did. It's not like you planned it at all. And it wasn't written down or anything.
I'm looking at the computer right now.
Oh, why are you going to do that? I'm trying to pipe you up, and you just shoot yourself down.
Well, unlike everybody else in this movie.
Why? Oh, no one dies.
Spoiler. But yeah, you ready to talk some Top Gun?
Oh, well, let's do it.
I figured we'd just jump right into it. Make
jump
it a
right
thing.
In. Jump right into the danger zone.
Oh, should I do the flash noise again? So
sure.
They know the
and we're back. Did you hear that sound? That was weird.
It was microphone feedback.
Ah, okay.
But anyway.
Is Ezra Miller in your house?
I hope not, because I would probably have... He'd get arrested. Ezra Miller's a nightmare. And I defended that guy. I defended him for so long. Yo, him and Amber Heard are gonna make their own movie called "The Don't Hire Us."
Oh, we didn't even get into that. I'm not even touching that.
No,
I'm not.
We touched it.
What, I think like two episodes ago, and just
I'm staying away from it. Like it's a pillow at Johnny Depp's house.
Seriously, it's just like I'm done with it.
Yeah, I'm over it. But so let's talk some Top Gun Maverick, man.
So, Paul.
Yes.
You know, you sat next to me at the movie theater. We even said we went to dinner before, and you were. You said it. You were like, I want Danger Zone to play. I mean, you got to have Danger Zone playing in this movie. And I was like, I agree. Question was, where in the movie was it going to play? Well, they didn't miss a beat. It was literally, boom, the opening scene.
Okay, so should we do a spoiler? Are we going to just spoil? Or
why not?
All right, so we are going to do a full spoiler review of Top Gun Maverick. It's going to be no holds bar.
I don't think there's anything really like, you know, crazy. The movie's been out for 2+ weeks.
You can also guess this movie.
It's, I mean, honestly.
If you saw the first one.
Not necessarily. There are a few things that go awry.
Sure.
From the original.
That's fair.
All right. So, boom. Danger Zone's playing. What do you think? You're like, I'm psyched. All right.
It got me in.
Got you going.
No pun intended. It got me in the zone.
Got you in the zone.
So, I am still disappointed that it was not played during the football scene.
I'm okay with that because I don't think it was played during the volleyball scene in the original, so it really didn't.
The only song that would have been better during that, either the football scene or I think the ending scene, mm-hmm. when Rooster hits the accelerator, is the Team America, America song. Oh my
America.
God. Yeah. Coming again. Yeah, it would have been perfect. It would have been amazing. Legendary even. Yep. But that's just where we're at. So let's. Do you want to talk cast first?
We can.
All right. So we have Tom Cruise returning as Captain Pete Maverick. We also find out that he only taught at Top Gun for two.
I thought that was great.
What was it? 2 months.
2 months. 2 months.
And he went right back to being a captain. Now, as somebody that works in a field where there is a lot of question about career and moving up and changing rank and all those sort of things, I can understand why everybody was always asking him why he was still just a captain.
Yeah.
It's because he does what he loves.
Which is, to me, is what you want to do. You want to do what you want to do. And, you know, it's the same any job you go to. It's like they always, you know, want you to try and go upward. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're just like, you know what? I'm good where I am.
Yeah, status quo, man.
Status quo. I'm okay where I am. You know, if you're happy with what you make and what you do, you know, stick with it.
Now, let's talk Tom Cruise. First of all, he devours the role. He does a great job. He jumps
right back into the way he was in the first one.
Like, you would think not a day passed.
No.
And also, let's put it out there. Tom Cruise, 59 years old. He's still in great shape. And unfortunately,
he's going to be 60 on July 3rd.
Crazy, right?
Doesn't look good at all.
Yeah, yeah. Let's also point out that, yes, he does run in this movie. As per
the
usual...
Yeah, that's the running joke is why does Tom Cruise run in
this movie? Producer Melanie, she literally looks over and she goes, and he started running again. Oh, and he's running through the snow. Oh, there he goes. And she's not wrong.
She's not wrong.
But he really does jump right back into it. He's still got the same charm, the same devil may care. So basically, the movie starts off, very opening scene is completely Maverick. He's working on this new...
He's basically a test pilot.
Which is weird considering, like, he's a captain, yeah, like, but it feels like he was a bigger part of this project than just the pilot for it. Because the pilot wouldn't be telling people what to do.
Oh, he's probably, you know, yeah, he's probably higher ranked than anybody else involved in the project, so,
yeah.
You know.
So, it starts off with him test flying out this new fighter jet, and of course, he has to just push it a little too far.
Well, yeah, they basically, you know, they tell him that the... What do you call it? The mock level that they want we're supposed to hit has now been up to 10, and they were only supposed to go to Mach 9.
Nope, hold on. Pulling it back. They had 2 more months to get to Mach 10.
Yes.
So the prototype was always supposed to be Mach 10, but they were going for Mach 9 on a certain date, and then 2 months later...
Mach 10.
But the mission commander, played by Ed Helms, who's barely...
Ed Harris.
Him too... And Helms is from The Hangover. Guys, I'm sorry. It's been a long night. It's literally almost 10:30. But Ed Harris comes in and he's like, no, I'm shutting down this project so I can divert them. He believes that you know, the unmanned fighter jet is the future.
Yeah.
Which is strange because in a lot of other movies, when they say something like that, it's introduced as a plot point later on.
Yeah.
What was that movie with Jessica Biel? Like a fighter pilot movie. I forget what it's called. It's Stealth.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
And
callback.
Oh, yeah, that's a solid callback. But yeah, that's the idea. They have an unmanned craft in there. Anyway, I digress. So after he destroys...
How many Jessica Biel movies can we think of in this episode?
Yeah. Well, this movie also, going back to what we were actually talking about, had a lot of comedy in it. I was We laughed a fair amount in this movie, and it starts off in this opening scene where after Tom Cruise ejects, and he walks into that diner, and everybody stops because he literally looks like he just survived a plane crash. Where am I? And the little kid's like, Earth? So good. But he does well in this movie. He jumps right back into it. I think there would have been more character growth if he didn't run the mission himself, but you knew he was going to.
You saw that coming, just mile because, again, away. The cadets he was training were just not getting it 100% with what he was teaching.
2 weeks, man. That's all they had.
That's crazy.
They had three, but not anymore.
That's crazy to me. But they're the best of the best.
Of the best.
Of the best.
And then you see Will Smith in the background pulling a table so he could take his little test. solid Men in Black reference. Best of the best of the best, sir. With honors.
It's slappy right now, but I can't reach over the table.
Oh, yo. You keep Will Smith's name. We got to go. We're just going down in cast list, all right? Miles Teller as Bradley Rooster Bradshaw. Thoughts?
Here he goes. No. Where is Miles Teller's career right now? I mean, he was like, I remember when, you know, he started in Footloose and he became like, you know, he was in all these movies, but I really can't gauge first, like, the career he's having.
First movie I saw him in, Project X.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was in that movie.
Forgot about that.
Yeah, I like that movie.
I like Miles Teller. I think really he's a good actor. I liked him. And you know what? For what he's given in this movie, I thought he was fine.
He does a good job. And
he's literally the carbon copy of Anthony Edwards in Top Gun. And I mean, down to the mustache.
He has a very small resume. Like, it's crazy to think. So, just like going down the list really quick, we had Rabbit Hole, Footloose, Project X, The Spectacular Now, 21 and Over, that was a good one. Whiplash, which obviously he got huge acclaim for. That obviously. Awkward Moment, that was a good one. Divergent, never saw it. Two Night Stands, more Divergent, Fantastic Four. Oh,
still never seen that movie.
Don't do it.
But he actually, he's in The Offer. On Paramount Plus, the mini series about the making of The Godfather. And he's actually very good. So
he's got real chops. I hope he goes. And he's bringing back the mustache, apparently. There's been a huge push for the Miles Teller mustache.
Miles Teller, I like it.
And he got ripped for this movie. Like, they all the actors are in great shape, but like, he, you know, he got really ripped. For the one scene that they have to do in slow motion where he does like the little shake after the football thing. But he does good though. Like, and you see his character arc going exactly the way that it should.
We'll get into like basic plot points, but not like plot by plot points. But when you see the trailer, when you would watch the trailer over the last 2.5 years, basically you would sense, okay, the conflict between the two of these is his father died while flying with Maverick, so he's obviously bitter about that.
We find out that that's not the case.
For
all we know, they had a loving and fantastic relationship
basically
for 20
years. Until a couple of years ago when you find out that Maverick, at the request of Rooster's mother, played by Meg Ryan, who obviously we don't see in this movie because her character has passed away, she didn't want him flying. So he was kind of given the Sophie's choice. Pull his application to flight school
and let him hate me.
And let him hate me. But he also admits like he wasn't ready.
Right.
Like, he admits that. He's like, listen.
And we see that in this movie.
Yeah. And you see why he wasn't ready. And, you know, but it really was kind of like, I was like, oh, okay. So he doesn't hate him because Goose died. He hates him because he sabotaged his career and it is what he feels like. So it definitely, they stayed away from that in the trailer, which I thought was good. It was a nice little surprise. Because again, you immediately go to, oh, he's Goose's son. He's obviously, you know,
you killed my dad.
Which he didn't, but, you know, he thinks that, so.
Buzz, get back here.
But I liked that. I liked that very much.
And they have their scene at the end is just hilarious when Maverick's running to him and then he pushes him
down.
I saved you. And he's like,
I saved you. So, you told me not to think. And he goes, damn it.
Yeah. They had a good working relationship.
They
good
did.
Chemistry.
In the 10 minutes of when they're literally like going back and forth with each other, I thought they worked well off each other.
And say what you will, Tom Cruise, he's weird. He's a quirky guy. We've seen it, you know, with the whole Scientology thing, him and during interviews and jumping on the couches.
Oprah
or even like with Matt Lauer, like we saw that, like he's not.
I don't think he's that way anymore. I think that was like a weird, that was just a weird time in his life.
I really hope that he is like actually just like a chill dude on set and like these act, because
I'll be honest, I've never heard a bad thing about him.
The only exception, the only time you've really heard something bad about him on set was when he went off on the people not wearing masks.
Which I got.
Yeah, I got
it. Like, we're trying to do something here, guys. Like, if
they're going
to
shut us down.
They're going to shut us down. Like, you're going to be out of a job. Yeah. Like, you know, figure it out. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, again, I've really doesn't have done a lot of research, but you know, you go through trivia on different movies, and I don't recall ever seeing anything where like there was a dust up with him or anybody on a set. You know, he was never treated people wrongly. Again,
he's always treated the crew very good, stuff like that.
Maybe I'm missing something, but I'm going to go on the fact that he's a really good guy, and he always wants to make sure the best movie that can possibly be made is being made.
Oh, my God. And he's such a big supporter of the military and making things real.
You know what? He may be... in some people's eyes, a running joke. Haha, running. I got
it. Yeah.
But he is a very good actor.
And also, he is badass. Like,
but like, people forget the movies he's done. I mean, this guy did Born on the 4th of July. Fantastic movie. Fantastic performance. Interview with the Vampire.
Mm.
Fantastic performance. Magnolia. I mean, he's
Vanilla Sky.
He's in this
Eyes Wide
Shut.
He's
in this action movie. Like,
I think at this point, it's his choice in
his
career.
Which is fine.
Yeah,
I have no problem with that.
Do what you want, man.
But the guy can act.
Yeah, he's got chops.
He is really good.
All right, going down the list, Jennifer Connelly as Penny Benjamin.
I liked her. I thought she was good. She added something. She wasn't like a stale character. She had her moments with him.
I think it added credibility to the fact that they had a previous relationship.
Which is funny because it's literally a name drop in the original when they mentioned
I think there
her.
Was more in between.
Well,
but
yeah, you hear about that in this movie, but the fact that they went to the first movie, they're like, you know what, you name drop this one girl, let's use her as a character.
Yeah. I think it's much smarter to do things like that instead of making her... Like, look at Marion Ravenwood from Indiana Jones. They had a relationship, and it added to like that whole we fell for each other type thing. It makes sense instead of, I've been here for 2 weeks, now you're going to come live with me. Like, yeah, I think that they had a very flowing chemistry. And it always makes me wonder, like, all these people in Hollywood, they obviously know each other. They socialize. They hang out. And then they're like, oh, we're making out tomorrow. Don't tell my wife. Like, I can only imagine the disassociation you have to make with this.
Yeah.
But she was there. She was good. She was fun in the bar. Like, the bar was also interesting, you know, with the bell and all that stuff. And I wonder where you got that money. I feel like there are a lot of scenes that were taken out of this movie that we just didn't get a chance
to see.
I'd
be interested to see deleted scenes if they add anything to the movie. Probably not, but they might. There might be a scene or two where you're like, oh, that could have worked.
We have John Hamm as Vice Admiral Bo Cyclone Simpson. I don't think they ever say his actual name.
I think at the very beginning when you first meet him, I think the other guy says something about it, but I could be wrong. Typical, you know...
Hard ass,
you know...
Comes around at the end.
And not even, but, like, he's, like, get put in a position where he has to, like, you know, allow Maverick to do what he's going to do. But he's not, like...
You ready?
Yeah. Who'd win in a fight?
Who'd win in a fight? This Admiral? Admiral Cyclone? Or Lloyd Bridges' Admiral from Hot Shots Part 2?
Oh, well, he's, like, impervious to death in Hot Shots
Part 2. No lightsaber.
But he's, like, got asbestos skin, so, like, you know... I don't know.
You don't know?
John Hamm would break him like a twig.
But I don't know. Baby Driver managed to beat John Hamm.
I never saw Baby Driver.
Scandal.
Yeah,
see Baby Driver. It's really,
really
good. But, okay, all right. That's fair. Let's see. We have, going down the list, Glenn Powell as Lieutenant Hangman Searson. All right.
He's the new Maverick. He is the hotshot, cocky... Thinks he's better than everyone, you know, fighter pilot. Very similar to the way Maverick acts in the first one. He lets his wingman go to, you know, try and complete the test mission.
Well, that's why they call him Hangman, because he leaves
everybody
hanging
out to dry.
Yeah.
So that he's basically the new Maverick in this movie.
He's fine. I don't know too much about him. He's got a very small...
I've seen him in a couple things. Yeah, I think he's mainly TV. Does a lot of TV.
He's our
stuff.
Age. Wow. Let's see. Expendables 3 is a big one.
Oh, that's it. That's
Ride Along 2. Yeah, nothing big movie-wise. But, yeah, and then just a couple of TV stuff. He's one of those actors that you kind of see everywhere.
Yeah, he looks familiar. And, you know, like I said, you've seen him in a couple
things. He's got that bully look to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lewis Pullman as Bob.
Bob.
There's nothing...
What's your call sign? Bob.
Apparently, you're a cell fighter. I was here the whole time.
But he is actually the son of Lone Star himself, Mr. Bill Pullman. So I didn't even know he was into acting, but yeah, he was good. He was like that, you know, just, you know, good character that would have a nice little, you know, chirp every now and then that was funny.
He was good at his job.
There you go.
And he makes it to the final team.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is impressive. I really wish they'd given him a better code name at the end, though.
I was okay with Bob. I thought it was funny.
Yeah, yeah. Ed Harris, as we mentioned, as Admiral Chester Hammer Kane.
Basically a cameo.
Pretty much, yeah. I do like the name of that prototype, the Dark Star.
Yes.
That would be my call sign, Dark Star.
Dark Star?
No big deal. Val Kilmer reprises his role as Iceman.
So good.
And so sad.
Yeah.
I almost thought he was going to have no lines at the entire.
Yeah, he's obviously not as sick as the character is in the movie, but he has no voice. So, but apparently the voice when he speaks, it's AI. It's an artificial intelligence voice. That's
really?
Not his real voice.
Supposedly they did that for Vader and Obi-Wan a little bit too. Oh, really? Like James Earl Jones does do the voice, but
they had to spruce it up a little bit. A
little bit.
So what'd you think of the Iceman Maverick reunion in this movie?
You can tell that they have a very long relationship that's well past the movie, and it's easily established. In one scene, just the way that they embrace each other, you can tell there's so much has happened between the two of them since. And you can tell Maverick's family to them.
Yes, and you can also, I mean, they say it numerous times that Iceman has basically rescued Maverick numerous times over the years in terms of making sure he doesn't get grounded or, you know, court-martialed or anything like that. And it's Iceman who gets Maverick involved in this mission because he feels Maverick is the only one who could possibly teach this mission to these pilots.
Right.
But, you know, they obviously, when you know the movie was announced and it was filming, they were really hush hush on whether Val Kilmer was going to be in it or not. And it was fairly late in the.
I was surprised that they put him in the title credits.
I wasn't.
Opening title?
Yeah, well, no, I wasn't. Unless you wanted to go like real surprise, yeah. But I mean, they very quickly you see his picture and stuff like that.
And I almost thought that that's what all we were going to get, just the picture, because they showed it in the trailer.
They showed it in the trailer.
I was happy to see him, even for just one scene, and then obviously he does pass away, and that's a very painful scene. Here's a fun fact from producer Melanie, by the way. Mm. I did not know this, but apparently the trumpet that plays taps or plays the bugle, it's not actually them playing it. There's a speaker inside of it that plays it, and they just move their hands, so that way they can't mess up.
Okay,
that's what producer Melanie said during the.
That's a good fact. I like that.
Fun fact, fanny pack. Bringing that one back.
Still haven't put the fanny packs on the store yet, though.
People need to buy more of our stuff. By the way, misfitfashion.com, Misfit Store. Check out our merch. But anyway, so we have Monica Barbaro, as Lieutenant Natasha Phoenix Trace.
And she's the biggest change, obviously, since the first one. The fact that you have a female.
Yes.
Fighter pilot.
With a badass codename.
She's great.
Phoenix is an awesome codename. And she doesn't fall into any of the tropes, any of the stereotypes. It's not like her and Miles Teller get together or anything like that.
They hinted that
at the very beginning, and I'm so glad they
just never went back to it.
Thank God.
Which was fine by me.
She reminded me of Christy Swanson in Hot Shots, where they don't even acknowledge that they make a couple of passing jokes,
yeah.
But she fires back too. But like for the most part, she's not there to be eye candy. She's not there to be like oogled or anything like that. She's there because she's capable.
She's along with Bob, is one of the final pilots in the mission.
Yep. Let's see. Charles Parnell as Rear Admiral Solomon Warlock Bates. And he's
basically John Hamm's
his second in command.
Second in command, but you definitely know there's history between him and Maverick. I think they were both in the character's not in the first one, but you definitely sense that the two of them had a more respectable relationship because he's very much on Maverick's side. He wants Maverick to succeed. He's not a hard ass on Maverick, but you know, you get that definite feel for that between the two of them.
All right, now the rest is way more on the supporting cast, so I'm literally just going to just go through names. We have Jay Ellis as Payback Fitch. Danny Ramirez as Fanboy Garcia. That's a cool name, too. I like that one. Greg Tarzan Davis as Lieutenant Javi Coyote Machado.
Good for you.
Thanks, man. Let's see. And then Bashir Salahuddin.
Oh, he was good.
As Hondo. And he was a lot of fun.
Yeah, he was,
I'm glad they brought him from the first scene.
The comic relief is wrong. He's not really comic relief. He was just... He had a few moments where that were just...
He's the more realistic of the two. Yeah.
And, you know, he has a good relationship with Tom Cruise.
He's the straight man and the comedic man at the same time. That's the best way to describe him. Yep. Let's see. We have Manny Jacinto as Billy Fritz Avalon. And then the Harvards and the Yales.
That's about. I think that's about.
And then Penny's daughter, Lilian Ray, had one of the funniest and then most depressing scenes of all time when Tom Cruise jumps out the window and we're all dying laughing in the theater. And then she's like, "Don't break my mom's heart again."
Aww.
Oh, dark. But so that's the main cast. We talked a little bit about the plot points, but I mean, in all honesty, like we said, if you've seen Top Gun, the original, you kind of have an idea.
It's
beat for beat for a lot of it.
For the most part, yeah. He's, as we said, he's a fighter pilot that he's now doing training in a new jet engine. And, you know, trying to get to Mach 10.
And he breaks it.
He breaks it. Iceman comes to his rescue, sends him back to Top Gun. So basically, the first half of the movie is him trying to get these fighter pilots to get this mission, you know, trying to train. And, you know, 2 weeks is crazy when you think about it.
Three originally.
Gets knocked down to two because what they're trying to do has been rushed a little further. So we have our little first little conflict where after Iceman dies, John Hamm doesn't waste any time. He's like, you're done.
It sucks too, because like at first he's like, you know, if you need anything, let me know. If you need to take time off, you're fired. Yeah, wait, what?
Pretty much. It's pretty much. So Iceman's not even cold. Haha.
And dark.
Not really meant to be, but okay.
Okay.
And John Hamm's just like, yeah, you're grounded. So Tom Cruise has his little like woe is me moment. What do I do? I don't, you know. And Jennifer Connelly's like, you know, you are the only one that can show them how to do this.
You lose a wingman. What do? You keep fighting. You
keep fighting. And so we have this fun scene where John Hamm is taking over the mission, and he's already like changed all the parameters that Tom Cruise has been
to make it easier.
And all the pilots are looking around, going like, yeah, we're gonna get killed.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're giving them so much more time
to mobilize
and come after us. So as he's doing this, you see on the board behind him that a jet plane is activated and is going to start doing the test run. And there's this great scene where he's, you know, it's Maverick, and he's like, you know, we're going to do this. And he does the mission exactly the way it's supposed to in the time allotted, 2.5 minutes.
He does it in less time. He lowers it to 2:15.
2:15. And it's a great scene because before that, the pilots didn't believe that this could be done.
Yeah.
Nobody had done it. So now they see someone has done it. So now they're all, boom, they're all ready to go. And John Hamm's just like, wow, you embarrassed me right there.
But you know what I love about this movie, and Maverick especially? He had no Fs to give.
No.
Like, it would have been very easy to have him come back and almost like be like, almost like hold back a little bit, especially with Rooster. But he, like, they start their first day of training, and he smokes every single one of them.
That was great.
It is fantastic.
It's basically recopying, you know, from the original, where it's Jester smoking all of them. And then you have that scene where Tom Cruise is like, you know, screw, I'm not covering ice, I'm going to go get Jester. Hangman does that similarly to Maverick, and Maverick takes him down. So, again, that's where I agree with you that the movie is very similar in its structure in terms of copying what the first
movie does.
Yeah,
you have some things that just have to be done. You have your montages. Yes. You have your team camaraderie moment, which everybody expected. The scene where Maverick is down, but he's ready to fight. I think it would have been better if Rooster had been the one that maybe had gotten in trouble, and Maverick was the one that had to tell him, hey, man, like, this is your chance to fight. I don't know, something along those lines, but like I said, it still works. Like, it's everything we wanted.
Yeah.
But
I didn't expect, maybe I should have, but I didn't expect that they would actually make Tom Cruise the mission leader to go and do that. So he's now the mission leader. He chooses Rooster to be his wingman over Hangman. So, you know, you're right there.
And they have that great moment, Hangman and Rooster, where on the deck, where Hangman wishes him basically good luck.
Yeah, give him hell.
And then just Rooster doesn't know how to respond.
I mean, I don't know how you know, it's really...
Well, they do a really good job of conveying the fact that, like, they're all scared.
Because they know that there's a strong possibility they're not coming back.
Right.
And that's...
Hammered home
throughout the movie, where Tom Cruise is like, I'm also training them to come home.
Yeah.
And John Hamm's just like, they know what they signed up for. Like, they know death is a possibility. So John Hamm is playing the card of, like, these guys know what they're in for, so, you know, if they don't make it home, they don't make it home. And Tom was like, no, that's not an option.
Yeah.
You know, I lost Goose, I'm not losing more people. So
also with military and stuff like that, you have to train to go home at the end of the night. That's the most important thing, and that's what's going to keep people fighting at their hardest.
Yeah.
But I do think that this movie, some things that this movie does fantastically, besides the fact that, like, there's a severe sense of dread at the end for all the people involved, even, like, the people that are, like, saluting them and, like, saying, but they managed to make the movie interesting from the cockpit of these planes in a different way. Like, as much as we love the original Top Gun and Hot Shots even, you know, where they spend a lot of time in the cockpit, but it's a lot of just the actor moving around and stuff like this. In this movie, you felt the force. And apparently there is a scene where Miles Teller hits his head at one point and he actually got hurt.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But they do a great job. These characters are in their planes for a lot of the movie, which is fantastic. Like, you could tell they definitely spared no expense. The budget for this movie is $170 million.
Seems low for what...
For just the technology alone.
Yeah. But the fact that you had cameras on these, you know, fighter jets, you had all of that done. And,
so beautiful. Like,
it really is.
Some of the shots in this are just so good. And that's what Top Gun was famous for. It's really good aerial technique work. And even Hot Shots, too. They did some good stuff with it. I think we here at Cinematic Adventures will always say that practical beats CGI. When it's applicable, right?
Yeah.
There are plenty of times where somebody tries to use a practical effect and it just doesn't work because you're...
There's certain things
you can't
know.
Throw a puppet into a big, like, CGI monstrosity and hope for the best.
You know when you need CGI. Like, there are things where you're like, you could have done that without the CGI, but I get why you
unfortunately,
didn't.
Especially for a movie like this, CGI became the easy escape, right? So Tom Cruise is a heavily insured actor, and because he's also accident prone. You know, we saw it in the previous Mission Impossible where they kept it in the film where he runs, jumps, tries to clear the building. He doesn't catch it, and he snaps his ankle
or something
like
that.
And he gets up and he starts running again.
Yeah.
So for movies like that, the actors
hanging off a plane than the movie before that.
I mean, even we saw the new trailer for Mission Impossible when we saw this movie, and you see the big stunt with him on the motorcycle going off the cliff. And like those, he is, like, the insurance is insane for those actors. Crazy. You know, just even the life insurance policies alone, like if something were to happen to him. So for movies like this, especially when Tom Cruise is notorious for wanting to do his own stunts and wanting to be heavily involved with doing his own stunts, I can only imagine, like, it adds just so much to the fact that, like, they're in these planes and they're moving, and you can tell, like, there are times where we were getting motion sickness, and we didn't go see it on a digital because I don't think it was available.
Oh, Dolby, you mean?
Dolby digital, you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. Yeah. But,
or even an IMAX, we saw it on traditional theater, but, like, even that, like, there were times where we were like, oh, God.
You felt it. You could sense them, like, you know, feeling what they were feeling. So, you know, the G-force, and, you know, there's this, he's describing what it's going to do to them. Like, your brain is like pushing up against your skull. You're going to not be able to breathe, you know, and like, oh my God.
Oh yeah. The physical toll that something like this takes on your body is immeasurable.
It's crazy. So we have the mission, and yes, I dropped a pen. Leave me alone. And so Tom Cruise is leading the mission.
You mean the Death Star trench run?
The Death Star trench run.
I can't take credit for that. Our good friend John over at Hey Pal, What's New, the podcast, he posted on there. He's like, so it's basically Star Wars with planes, right? Like the ending? And he was the one that we were talking about. He's like, yeah, the ending is kind of Star Wars-y. It's a nice homage.
A little homage to New Hope there, yes. So he's leading the mission. Rooster's his wingman, and they succeed in the mission. They hit their target. They escape the cavern that the target is in. And then there's a dogfight where it's like just, you know, they're coming after everyone. You know, you don't know who's being shot at, who's going to make it, who's not going to make it. And a missile launches towards Rooster. And you see immediately that Tom Cruise is going to, you know, try and get in front of it and, you know, lower his, what do you call the when you fire off the
flares.
Flares, thank you, to detonate it. And he gets shot down.
It would have been a ballsy move if they killed him.
I've been thinking about this since we left the theater, and I'm happy they didn't kill him off, but I would have been impressed.
I would have respected it.
I would have been impressed if they did. I would have been like, wow, that took balls to do.
I can't remember the last time Tom Cruise died in a movie. The Mummy notwithstanding, because he comes back to life 14 seconds
later.
That's
a very good point. Yeah. Technically, he doesn't even die in Interview with a Vampire.
There are a lot of actors who have clauses in their contracts where they can't be the bad guy, they can't take more hits than other people. Like, it very famously came out recently with Vin Diesel and The Rock for the Fast and Furious. Like, not one of us could actually win the fight. Like, a lot of that stuff. So there are plenty of actors who have clauses in their contract that say, well, you can't see my face bleeding, or you can't see me die, or I can't do this. So I wouldn't be surprised if Tom Cruise has a... When's the last time he was a bad guy?
A bad guy?
Interview
Collateral.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That was a good movie.
That was a very good movie.
That was a very good movie. He dies in Collateral.
Oh, there we go. All right. Thank you, Sean. Dip it into the vast resources.
Haven't seen that movie in 18 years, but...
That's solid.
All good movie. Very good movie. So he gets shot down, and, you know, everybody's like, you know, freaking out.
Especially the lady in front of us.
Oh, God. I feel like she didn't really give much of a thing to that. She was like going crazy over everything else. But
I was too busy reading the guy's text messages next to her. Apparently, they're talking about some sort of game. I was like, all right.
We're going to the game, guys. It's on right now. Let's do this. Mm-hmm. And so they're not allowed to engage. They're not, you know, able to go out looking for him. And the movie cuts to black. And I'm like, well, it can't be over. They wouldn't do that. So obviously, it fades back in, and it's Tom Cruise laying in the snow. He's alive.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, okay. So how are they gonna do this? So a helicopter comes and starts shooting at him. And
it's actually piloted by Henry Cavill from Mission Impossible.
It's
just
really?
A continuation
of the
same
mustache.
Scene.
That's where the mustache.
Same scene.
You know, they should have just cast Henry Cavill as Rooster with the mustache.
Who would win in a fight? Henry Cavill's mustache or Miles Teller's mustache? I think Henry Cavill's.
I think Miles Teller's.
Henry Cavill's killed Justice League. Henry Cavill's mustache.
I don't think that was the reason Justice League sucked. I don't think that was the reason, but okay. Your theory, but, you know, we'll
there's
see.
Some logic to it, too, which is even worse.
Oh, that is actually pretty funny, I have to admit.
Mustache fight.
So the helicopter's shooting at him, and all of a sudden that blows up, and Rooster comes to his rescue. But what happens? Rooster gets shot down. Now, are they going to kill Rooster? And I'm like, God damn, what the hell?
Not a single good guy dies in this movie.
And you
Iceman.
See the parachute, and so you know he's alive.
Yeah.
So, okay. All right. So they're not dead now, but now they still got to escape.
I hate to say it, but their escape was really easy.
It wasn't.
Nobody was watching the one working plane.
Because they probably felt the plane probably didn't work or wasn't going to work. So they steal an F-14, basically the jet that they used in the original movie.
Which I have a problem with because, in all honesty, you don't run your car for more than 2 weeks. It's not running.
But this is where you get Tom Cruise and Miles Teller finally where they're having some good back and forth.
I'd watch that movie.
And I liked it. I thought they did a good job together, and there was definitely some funny moments in a very tense situation.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, they lead into it where it's like they're being tailed by another pilot, and, are they going to shoot him down? What are they going to do? He's telling Rooster to eject. What's going to happen? Is it going to happen the same thing that happened to Goose? The woman in front of us is like, no, not again. Don't do this again.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, just freaking die already or do something. And they get saved by Hangman. So nobody dies. Nobody dies.
And then the ending's the exact same.
The ending, he you know, gets together with Penny. They ride off into the sunset on his plane he's been working on. And
now, speaking of planes, and we did bring this up, but I found it. So we were talking about how much they had to pay, especially for the planes. Because obviously the planes are flown by professionals. They're not flown strictly by the actors. So to create the illusion that the actors were actually piloting the jets during flying sequences, the producers paid the Navy $11,374 per flight hour for FA-18F Super Hornets and pilots to fly them. Imagine being deployed to the Navy and suddenly it's like, yo, Tom Cruise wants to see you. What?
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's crazy. That's like – because that's not even – it's not like the Navy's making a profit from this. It's – all right, we have to pay for the insurance, for the pilot, for the fuel, for the maintenance, per hour, per flight hour. Sounds and that's like take after take after take.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I can't imagine how their budget is so relatively small. But
I wonder if Tom Cruise took a paycheck for this movie, because that's the only thing I can think of is that he didn't take any money for this movie.
He has to have. He
probably has a percentage, but I'm talking about a base salary.
He also got producer credits.
Yeah, so I'm thinking he probably waived his
traditional fee,
and he's just going to make a profit off of the money,
which is
the box
great for
office.
Him because
it's making boo-goo bucks. But I thought it just hit me a nice other little homage to the original Top Gun, not in terms of the plot or anything like that, but at the beginning with the Jerry Bruckheimer and Don Simpson producing logo. For any movie buffs out there, Don Simpson and Jerry Bruckheimer were a very big action movie producing team back in the 80s and the early 90s. They did Beverly Hills Cop 1 and 2. They did Bad Boys,
What you want, what you gonna
but
do.
The Rock was the last movie they did together because Don Simpson, I believe, passed away before that movie was even finished.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been Jerry Bruckheimer by himself basically since. But I thought that was a nice little callback by
putting
his name in the credits.
You perked up when that happened.
I thought that was pretty cool. So that was a fun little nod to a producer who's been gone for, God, almost 30 years now. So that is pretty much Top Gun Maverick. So we're going to jump into our Star City rating. Paul, what do you give this movie?
I'm going to give it 4.
I am a
solid 4. This
solid
is,
4? Nice.
It is, again, the plot doesn't reevaluate the wheel.
No.
It doesn't change anything like that. But I just, it was everything I expected and more. So well above average.
I am going to agree with you. I'm going to give it a 4 as well. I thought it was very on par with the first movie. First movie maybe is just a tad better just because of the, just what it was when it came out. But I think this movie easily did its job and didn't falter in any way, in my opinion, and even added to the lore of the Top Gun franchise. So I was very pleased with it. This is a movie I would actually buy.
Oh, yeah. No.
I'm not big on buying movies anymore but no. Every now and then I'll buy, I bought Ghostbusters Afterlife. This is a movie I would buy on Blu-ray and have it because this is a movie I could watch you know, every once in a while and enjoy it.
I like it.
So that was good. Anything else we got?
Fan Feedback Friday.
Oh, yes, Paul. What is our fan feedback Friday?
We got a lot of people from this one. This is fun. Let's see. In this week, in honor of Top Gun, if you were to have a military call sign like Maverick or Goose, what would it be? All right. We've got a lot. Our friend Matt. Dear Matt Hanley.
Dear Matt.
Shepard.
Okay.
All right. Matt Shepard Hanley. All right.
Like
from
it.
Rob's
it
film class. All right, Rob's film class. Bring it
this
the
This is going
to
be their last
on.
One, right?
This is their last one. I really wanted to do name all the fictional characters you would like to do in a who would win in a fight episode, but I don't think we were ready. All right, you ready? This is from his senior class. Vengeance, Cat Lady, Jaeger, Widowcrest, Pumpkin, Peaches, Your Mom, Sweet Stuff, Diablo, Rickroll, Nightwing, Meow Meow, Pickle Rick, Ka-chow, Cars!
Oh, now they're just doing it to piss you off.
I know. Devil Dog, Snowball, Crayon, Wiener, Loal Bro. Nice, Rob. Fannigan and Fanny Pack. Fun fact, Fanny Pack. Let's see. From our friend Mike, my favorite call sign was Snake from Metal Gear Solid, but most common call sign is just the old Blue Falcon. Oh, that, yeah, if you know the Blue Falcon, you know the Blue Falcon. From Rob's junior class, Teeny, K-Money, Casper, Little Lad, Big Red, Rigatoni, and Repper. Nice. From Ronnie from the Multiverse Fancast, I already have the nickname Goose. Can I keep it? It didn't really work out for him, Ronnie. I put Superman. Our friend Brendan from Blind Batten 87 put Batman. Our friend Martin put RB2 because there's only one original RB. For those of you guys who don't know, our nickname for each other was Rat Bastard. RB. Oh. So we would call each other RB. We have our friend Evie, Curly Joe, and Sean, you put Red 5. Yeah, because it didn't work out for Red 4 or Red 6.
No, or Red Buttons or Simply Red or Red October.
Yeah. Roll them up. But anyway, so yeah, that is Fan Feedback Friday. Don't forget, guys, if you want to participate in Fan Feedback Friday, it's every Friday, thus implied in the name. And you can find that always on our Facebook page, Cinematic Adventures.
Alrighty then. Anything else, Paul?
Well, if you guys are looking for more of our content, you can go to our website, themisfitfaction.com. There you find links to not only this show, but also our other shows like the Multiverse Fancast and MF Uncensored. You'll also find links to articles, reviews, news, and our brand new Misfit Faction store. So check it out, buy some merch, and rep your favorite podcast.
Really, not really brand new anymore. It's been around for a while.
I was in the fracking zone. You can also find us on social media if you guys are looking for us on Instagram, TikTok, anything like that. Facebook, you can type in the Misfit Faction. Odds are you'll find some of our content. So make sure you like, comment, subscribe, join. And also, if you guys are listening to our episodes, make sure you download them. It makes a big difference, not only for our numbers, but also for people trying to find our show.
Alrighty. Well, this has been fun as always. And as always, I'm Sean.
I'm Paul.
Talk to me, Goose. Have a good one.
Do I have to say something now?
Yeah,
I
mean, could if you want. I mean, now it's kind of weird.
Do you want me to say what Goose said, his last words? Oh, my neck.
Wow.
Bye.